Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Psalm 105. And I hope you have your Bible and a notepad and to follow along today on talking about how to build resilience in difficult days. Again, I come every week prepared not just to help you win the battle, and I want to do that, but I want to help you win the war. It gives you a strategy and a toolbox with a set of tools that if you do it and apply it, I don't want to hear anybody say, I know it. Y'all know how that frustrates me, right? I don't want to hear anybody say, well, I know that. Well, then why aren't you doing it? Can I have a witness in the house, okay? So why don't I do it? Why aren't I doing it? It's one thing to know it. Knowing the truth doesn't set me free. Doing the truth sets me free. And the truth, watch this now, a lot of times we share people the truth and they get hurt emotionally. Well, Pastor, you stepped all over my toes. I never intentionally to step on your toes or my toes. I never intentionally ever to do that in 38 years. But the truth should not hurt my emotions. The truth should move me to action. That's powerful. The truth, most people can't handle the truth. They get offended by the truth, mad, and quit church and quit God. But the Bible says the truth is there to set us free. The truth is there to set us free. But most people, they allow the truth to hurt them emotionally, and then they give up and get mad and get bitter and get offended. When the truth, if it's going to set me free, it's got to move me to action. It's got to move me to action. And you and I at Church on the Rock and every campus, we are doers of God's word. Amen, somebody. We are doers of God's word. So we're looking at resilience, and I think it's very apropos. Spend the whole month of May on it because we're in difficult days. These are the most difficult days of my life, and I know they are as well as yours. So we need resilience if we're going to succeed. We need resilience if we're going to stay strong. We need resilience if we're going to get through. We need resilience if we're going to accomplish what God put us on this earth to do. So we've defined it, and very simply, the word resilience simply means the ability to bounce back. The ability to bounce back. I found it in my life, and I know you're just like me, it seems in your life, there have been things that we've been hit by, and it took us weeks to bounce back. We've all been there. My objective in this series is to shorten that to days, to a day, to hours, to minutes, an ability to bounce back. All right, so from a setback, that's what resilience is. Resilience is the ability not to give up. Resilience is the strength not to quit. Resilience, it is the ability, watch very carefully, this is why you've seen some people during COVID get closer to God, closer to their family, better health, make more money, happier, even during COVID. You've seen some people get bitter and some people get better during COVID. The ones who were able to quickly adapt have made it better through COVID. The ability to adapt, if you're a note taker, to adapt, adjust, learn, apply, overcome, and come out stronger. That's resilience. Resilience is the ability to adapt, adjust, be a student in the storm. Y'all remember that from last weekend? A student in the storm. Let go of our pride and our ego. Ego stands in our way for a lot of people to get their breakthrough. Ego. They're unwilling to ask questions. They're unwilling to ask questions. They're unwilling to be honest and authentic with themselves. They're unwilling to lay down their pride and be teachable. There's a book out there called Ego. You know, it's our worst enemy. And so it's important then that the ability to bounce back from a setback is resilience. And resilience is the ability to adapt, to adjust, or you could call be flexible, be flexible, be flexible, and then learn in the lesson from what we're going through, apply what we learn. Remember, I told you, the truth isn't to hurt us, and it hurts most people, and they give up, get offended, and get mad. But you and I are not most people. Our church is not an average church. I don't want to be average, and I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be different. And I want you to be different, and I want our church to be different, and it always has, and it always will be. So the ability then to learn, apply what we're learning, and then come through it, out of it, stronger. Am I communicating today? So that's the definition of resilience. In the Bible, you won't find the word, but you will find the word courage. Courage. Courage is the Bible word for resilience. Courage is the Bible word for resilience. Courage is defined as an inner strength that leads to bold action. An inner strength that leads to bold action. Courage is an inner boldness that leads to bold action. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If I faint in the day of adversity, my inner strength is small. If I faint when trouble comes, it's because my inner strength is small. So we want to work on the inside, the inner man, renewing it, strengthening it, like y'all are doing today. And by the way, I sure do love you. I got popcorn for you. Amen. We got kettle corn, popcorn out there for you just to bless you. Like Ellie said, to say thank you. We love you. You are appreciated at Church on the Rock. Plus, Vince, he leads that amazing jazz band in the lobby to create an atmosphere and an environment. Just to say, who else does that? I don't know very many people. I know some who've mimicked us and started doing it after we started doing it years ago, and that's cool. So resilience. In the Bible, we looked at Joshua, and we're going to come back to him, but we've been looking at Joseph. Joseph is a picture of resilience. If you want to study his life, and I encourage you to do character studies in the Bible. Do character studies in the Bible. You know, I would rather learn from somebody else and not go through a lot of experiences on my own. I like to miss them by modeling after other people who made that mistake, learned from it, and moved on, right? I think that's called wisdom, wisdom. If you want to win, study winners. Do Bible character studies. I love it. Joseph, in the Bible, his story is from Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis 37 to chapter 50. Genesis 37 to chapter 50. It starts off in Genesis 37 as a 17-year-old teenager. He has a dream from God. He has a dream from God. God gives him a dream, and he sees himself in leadership, leadership, leadership. And he sees his family bowing down to him. Well, his brothers misunderstand his dream. He shared his dream with the wrong people. So his family, being as dysfunctional as it was, they tried to kill him. And they literally tried to kill him. And then they said, let's don't kill him. Let's put him in a pit and sell him as a slave and get rid of him. So the life of Joseph is full of obstacles and full of, watch this, valid reasons to be bitter. Valid reasons not to forgive. Valid reasons of injustice. Valid reasons of hurt, heartache, and pain. But yet he chose not to be bitter. He chose to forgive his family. He chose to give God his best every day. Through the life of Joseph, you won't find one negative comment. Amazing, isn't it? He's different. God's called me to be different. He's called you to be different than the masses. So it's important as we look at his life, I'm going to buzz through it, give you some PowerPoints and some steps of action. Is that okay? All right. So Psalm 105 on the screen today, guys. Psalm 105 and verse 17, 18, 19, New Living Translation. This is talking about Joseph. Now watch, because the Holy Spirit takes the word of God, wants to illuminate and answer your problems today. The Holy Spirit, as we read the Bible, wants to take the word and illuminate it, and he wants to help you out today. So here we go. He then sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. A reference to Genesis 37, when his brother sold him at age 17 as a slave. I want you to see something. God had a plan for his life. God sent him ahead. God has sent you ahead. As the father of your house, you're the priest, the provider, and the protector. And you are the leader. Leader simply means the one who goes first. Leader means the one who sets the pace. The leader sets the pace of the pack. The leader sets the pace of the pack. The leader initiates. The leader goes first. God has ordained you men as the leader of your house. You're to set the example for your children. You're to set the example and the pace of your household. You are to go first, all right? So, and then speaking corporately, we've all been called to be leaders. And a leader goes first. Watch this now. He was sold as a slave. Even though others saw him as a slave, he never saw himself as a slave. How do you see yourself today? In our culture, how do you see yourself in 2021 coming through and hopefully with the vaccine and the guidelines and all that's happening, hopefully coming out of COVID, how do you see yourself? Beaten, battered, bruised, marred, scarred, hurt, injustice, a victim? He never saw himself as a victim. He never saw himself as a slave. To others, he looked like a slave. To others, he looked like a victim. To others, it looked like it was over. To others, it looked like he was a nobody. To others, it looked like he was insignificant. To others, it looked like he was just another slave. But he saw himself differently. My family at Church on the Rock, we've always been known as different, and we will always continue to be known as different. I do not want to be an average Christian or an average church or an average Christ follower. He did not see himself as a slave. Do you see yourself as a low class? Do you see yourself as defeated? Do you put yourself down because of the color of your skin? How you see yourself determines how you perform. How you see yourself determines the outcome of the battle that you're in. So he said, Joseph, who was sold as a slave, help me, guys, verse 18. They bruised his feet. A lot of us have been bruised in the last year. They bruised his feet with fetters. They placed his neck in an iron collar. We've been restricted. We've been isolated. We've been hurt. We've been misunderstood. We've been attacked in the last year. But how do we see ourselves? As a victim with self-entitlement or as a victor and God as our source and provider? Verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Whoa. All during the life of Joseph, from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, you'll see two phrases. Number one, continually. And he remembered the dream. And he remembered the dream. That's a key to being resilient. What is that? Focusing on your future. Focusing on your future. What kept him keeping on? He believed that his future was bigger than his past. And his future was bigger than his present. He kept focusing on his future. I encourage you today, I challenge you today, this will change your life if you begin to focus on your future that God has for you. If you focus on the dream that God has for you. He remembered the dream. Secondly, you will see this phrase from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. The New Living Translation says, if you study it out in Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, those chapters, and you read it in the New Living Translation, where it says in the King James, and the Lord was with him. It says in the New Living Translation, and the Lord was with him and caused him to succeed in everything he did. Caused him to succeed in everything he did. You and I would call it the favor of God. But I want you to see something. To have the favor of God in your life, you have to see yourself as God sees you. To have the favor of God on your life, you have to see yourself as God sees you. You can't see yourself as a slave. You have to see yourself as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You have to see yourself as a king's kid. A king's kid. And notice what was going on here is that God was pruning, purging, and God was getting ready to promote him. What does God promote? Character. Character. How's my character on the baseball field? How's my character on the softball field? How's my character in the basketball court? How's my character around the water cooler when it opens up where I work? How's my character when nobody's watching? How's my character at 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning when everybody's asleep and I go to my computer? How's my character? Because God promotes character, not charisma, not personality, or not culture, or popularity. What was God promoting? His character. Character is developed not under comfort. Character is developed under pressure. Character, am I helping anybody today? I'm doing my best. Character is developed under pressure. Resilience is developed in adversity with an adversary. Did you hear what I just said? You don't develop resilience during comfortable times. You don't develop our character when everything's going hunky-dory. In the Hebrew, that means, I don't know. Y'all with me? So this is so true. A oyster becomes a pearl how? Through pressure. You will reach your capacity through pressure. Most people have so much potential and capacity that they never touch because they have a certain comfort level. I don't want to commit to any more, Pastor, in serving. I don't want to commit to any more in giving. I don't want to commit any more to developing my skill. I don't want to commit any more to my education. I don't want to commit any more to my character. Most people don't reach their capacity or their potential because of their comfort level. It's so important that you and I raise our comfort level. And we need to say this, that pressure is a privilege. Say it with me, please. Pressure is a privilege. About 30%. It's hard for you. You're going to throw up saying it. Come on now. Say it with me. Pressure is a privilege. Because here's what I know. Whether you and I like it or not, it's there. And it's going to increase. And as a pastor who loves you and likes you, it's my job to equip you for the pressure of life. Pressure is a privilege. We have to embrace it and not take drugs to deal with it. Or leave our family, or have an affair, or quit, or give up, or turn back. Because pressure is a privilege, because during pressure, we develop our character. And God promotes our character. God promotes our character. So pressure is a privilege. Pressure, under pressure, we develop resilience, the ability to bounce back from setbacks. Now, let me extract one more thing. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, until God has a timing, right? Until the time came. Why hasn't my time came? Well, I would want to look at my character. Until the time came to fulfill. I want to extract and put in big, bold letters in front of you today in every campus, fulfill. Until the time came to fulfill his God-given dream. So remember the dream and focus on your future. That's key to not giving up. And then also remember that God is with you and God is for you and God wants to favor you as we allow the pressure to form us into the image of Christ, right? But notice, until the time came. Now remember, in our services, we want to come prepared because the Holy Spirit's working. He's brooding in every campus all over the world, Church on the Rock community. He's brooding. He's moving. Where's that? Genesis chapter 1. He's brooding and he's waiting for the word to be spoken. Let there be light. And it came to pass. He's brooding over the word that I teach. And he's waiting for you to allow him to illuminate the answer to your marital, physical, financial, career problem. Never waste a service. Never sit idly by. Even if you sleep in our services, you will be held accountable in heaven. You do know that, right? Because to whom much is given, much is required. And if I'm sitting under the word and I don't apply it, I'm still accountable for it. It's true. People don't know that. They think they can just, you know, get on their phone, the computer, and surf while I'm teaching. It's no big, hairy deal. Wait till eternity. It is a big, hairy deal. It's all in the Bible. I don't say that to hurt anybody. I say that to applaud you for being a note taker. I say that to applaud you for your hunger for the word and for truth. And when the truth comes out, it's not going to offend you and me. We're different than most Christians. We know that when we act on the truth, it brings change. Truth should bring action to my behavior, my moods, my life, my language, etc. But I'm not done. Until the time came. Boy, I'm not getting very far. Until the time came, what's the word we're extracting? Fulfill. Let me submit this phrase to you today that's life-changing to me, that keeps me here 38 years, and should the Lord tarry, Kim and I, 58, 68 years. What keeps me keeping on? What gives me the energy, the synergy, the fortitude, the mental strength, the get up and get going? What keeps me going every day of my life? I hope it'll help you. It's helped me. Here it is. God is a God of completion. God is the God of completion. What does that mean? If God gave you a dream, it's God's will. No matter how much difficulty, setbacks, detours, no matter how many battles won or lost, no matter what people say or don't say about you and me, no matter how long it takes, that if we'll just stay resilient and not quit and keep on keeping on, if we'll just keep adjusting, adapting, learning, applying, overcoming, and getting stronger. If we'll just keep doing that, the dream that he put in your heart, which many of you have given up on, you need to relook and revisit that dream today. Because God is a God of completion. And God is not one. Once he gives it to you, God does not take it back. When I was in college, Kim and I were in college, my mother's in heaven. But my mom would always send me cards to encourage me about every week. I'd go to the student mail room and I'd look for my mother's card. And about every week, my mom would send me a card to encourage me. And this one scripture that she kept giving me all through college, one major scripture. Now, she gave me a lot of scriptures. She loved the word. That's where I got a love for the word from, was my mother. And she would give me all kinds of scriptures. But there was one star she'd always go back to. One she'd always go back. This is back in the 70s. One she'd always go back to, and here it was. Philippians 1:6. Anybody know what Philippians 1:6 says? Be confident of this one thing. He that has begun a work in you, NIV says, will bring it to completion. God didn't give you that dream to give up on it. God gave you that dream to give you the strength for the struggle and the storm that you're in. God gave you that dream to keep you on course. God gave you that dream to give you hope in a hopeless world. God gave you that dream. Revisit that dream today, my church family. Revisit that. Bring it back to life. Because just because it looks like it might be dead and dormant, don't see yourself as others might see you. Oh, it's over for them. It'll never happen for them. Joseph never saw himself as a slave. He saw himself as a son of the Most High God with a dream. And he believed in the pit, in prison. He believed in Potiphar's house. He believed that God who gave it would not retract it. That the God who gave it was the God who would complete it. Psalm 138, as the team comes, Psalm 138, verse 8, it says there in many different translations that God will fulfill, that God will bring to pass what he has for your life. So we're talking about resilience. We didn't get very far today. Did I help anybody? Resilience and being strong in the storm. And being willing to adjust and adapt and learn, keep learning, stay a student in the storm and keep running your race and keep responding correctly and realize that the dream will be fulfilled if you'll just do what we've been talking about this entire month on how to build resilience in difficult days. You got something? Would you give the Lord a big praise today? Hallelujah.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.